Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. Just going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life Network. On Mondays, we do Hometown Heroes. We get to highlight individuals and organizations that go above and beyond to make the community, the world, a better place. People who have lived through challenges in life and have had taken those instead of letting them stop them in life, they use them to, and their experiences to create programs, to create organizations, to do things that make the world a better place. And highlighting this today and, you know, coming up, was we just went through the Easter weekend. And as you know, we are a Christian-based but a non-denominational radio show, so we have people from all different faiths come on and talk about different things. But, you know, being Easter yesterday and Jesus giving up his life as a sacrament of kindness to help, and the impact is still felt thousands of years later for what he did, we're really highlighting a lot of individuals that struggled, that had problems, that had different issues. And persevered through them, and their whole goal is to show others that just because you're struggling doesn't mean it's the end. There's always a way to pick yourself up and keep moving forward and change your life for the better. My guest today is Holly McNeil. She's the creator of the PER Love Formula. And it's a way for you to get your personal freedom and power back to make those steps in life. Welcome to the show, Holly. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
The honor is mine. Now, before we get into the hows and, you know, what the steps that got you into this area and what you're doing, what is the PER LOVE formula?
So it's per love, right? And it's a set of mindfulness and meditation practices that I developed over 20 years, searching for something better. Like you said, you know, I was very stuck and I was struggling, and I knew there had to be something better. So I searched across the country from coast to coast, and from all the teachings and in the retreats I went to, there's a few simple truths that came around about how our minds work, and you know why mindfulness and meditation is important, and how we can you know pay attention with awareness to what's going on inside, and then be once we're aware of it, we can change it. So the first part of the formula is PER, pledge, evaluate, recognize, where we're recognizing negative thoughts and so forth, and the second part is love, locate, open, best, and expand, where you're opening your heart, right, to God, Buddha, the universe. You know, as you said, there's many ways for people to find love, right? So the second set of practices are all about that.
No, and I love that. And like you talked about, you know, you went through many different retreats, different places, different areas to come up with this. And yeah. A lot of people get discouraged because they go to one thing, one guru, one person, and it doesn't help. They try a couple other ones, and this helped, but this didn't help. And so you took that and found the best of everything and combined it into your own, which is what I did too. But I work with, you know, autistic families. But, you know, having that foresight to see that is phenomenal.
Right. There's definitely a way, and that's, you know, quite honestly, it took me 10 years when I started out, and it was right around the time of 9/11. You know, the whole country was in a low point, and I didn't know where I was going, but I was searching for something better. And you're right. Sometimes I'd read a book, and then I'd read a book 10 years later, and I'd see something completely different, then because I'm in a different spot. But it's about, you know, it's about perseverance. And I tell people, if there's something you want to learn or change, you have to do it over and over and over again. You can't just do it once. It takes 3 times to remember anything, 8 times to really get it to sink in. So that was actually one of the things that helped me a lot, is if there was a practice. John Kabat-Zinn, for example, is a great mindfulness coach. He does the 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction course. It's now worldwide. And I had a CD from him, and I listened to him over and over and over and over so I could start changing the patterns in my mind from negative to positive.
No, sorry, I was muted. As you talk about the negative, the positive, we're very much about the truth. And taking the negative to positive is great, but you know, a lot of coaches today are all about gaslighting, where we're not acknowledging our feelings and how we have to turn everything in the world into positive and not acknowledging the bad that happens, but using that bad as a step forward to find the solution to make it positive. Now, how do you work with that?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right on, Mary. The point is, everything in our lives is showing us something, right? So the whole first part of the practices is sometimes, so we each have 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, if you Google it. And according to the National Science Foundation, 80% of the thoughts are negative and 95% repeat. And so if we're not paying attention, those negative patterns, that trauma that happens to almost everyone when they're younger, those become our stories that we live with over time, right? And then we create our lives from those stories. And we believe those stories as truth because they're kind of in our brains. They're kind of hardwired in who we are. So absolutely, you have to, so first you pledge 1 minute, 6 times a day, to pay attention to your mind. Right? Instead of being on automatic pilot and letting these, what I call our TEF, our thoughts, emotions, and feelings, which at first can be mostly negative, run our lives, we want to pay attention to what those are, right? So we first start out by pledging to watch our mind so we're aware of these negative thoughts, emotions, and feelings in our mind and inhabiting our body. And then in E, evaluate, you're then evaluating what are these thoughts? What are these patterns that I'm now paying attention to that come up often and I automatically respond to? Because if we're super, super familiar with something, it'll become a habit, and we'll do it out of habit without even paying attention. So a lot of times if we're anxious or depressed, it's a lot of it is these negative patterns that we've developed. So if we're starting to pay attention to what those are, we're evaluating what those are, we can then recognize them as they come up, right? And that is when you can change them, right? But you definitely have to, look at kind of what you stepped away and kind of unravel it.
Sorry, I had to step away for a second there.
Yeah, but all of this is doable. Yeah, it's all doable, and it's all, you know, even like I said, I've looked at, I grew up Christian. I looked at Buddhism, and a lot of the truths about who we are. There's some basic truths about who we are and how our minds work, and paying attention to those thoughts going on the inside is a real first step, right? Instead of acting out as a habit automatically, right? Because that's just reinforce those negative patterns.
You know, and that is so true in the way you're talking about that, is that, you know, a lot of things that come out of our mouth and in our brains is just automatic. And we got to learn to just stop for a minute and take that breath and walk away if we need to, or just reset the way we're doing things. And patience, when that's, you know, I studied a little bit of different religions in the Army, and because it was something to do. And that is a big thing that, like, the Buddhists and the Hindus really talk about, is just taking that breath and just relaxing and having that patience that is so limited here in the United States.
Yeah, you're right. People want an instant fix, right? And so these practices that I've created are, it doesn't take a lot of time. All it needs is your attention and your consistency and absolutely patience. Because at first you're going to meet with resistance, right? Your brain is basically a biocomputer that has, if you've been anxious or depressed or angry for years, right, you've been reinforcing that anger and depression, right? So when you go to try to change that, you're going to meet with some resistance at first, which is why a lot of people get discouraged. But I just tell them, don't get discouraged. Stick with it, because what you're doing is you're literally, when you try to find those patterns, recognize them and change them, you're literally rewiring your brain. And that takes time. And when you do that, though, you start to break apart those negative patterns, and you create space for this aha moments to come through, and those moments of wisdom, peace, and joy. That's really part of who you are as a human being.
Mary, is Country?
Yes, Country.
And who's our guest today?
Our guest is Holly McNeil. She's the creator of Pearl Love Formula.
Hey, Holly.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. It's Country Boy. I was just making a couple of notes while you started talking, and I just had the conversation with another individual before I came on the call today. Everybody wants everything right away, fast.
Right.
Why do you think they named Mary Speedy? Not because she wants everything right away. She knows how to get things done in an expeditious type of way. But the only thing that's never, ever, ever, ever failed is consistency and persistency. A combination of the two never, ever fails. Second thing we was talking about when you guys are talking about Mary, ever since we had a head-on collision, we've been talking about self-talk, self-motivation. Regardless on who you are and wherever you are, what are you saying to you about you? Because if you're telling me I'm a country boy, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm telling the truth. If I turn right back around and say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. Whatever you are telling you, you're telling the truth. If you say you can, you can. If you tell yourself you can't, you're telling the truth again. And then again, as we know, as we go along in our planning stage, there are certain things that we do have to write down so that you'll know what your micro goals are, what your short-term, medium, long-term goals are. And then you just said too, Holly, at a certain point, you just need to push the pause button and stand still for a minute and evaluate yourself. Cliff note for you, can't control, comes from my granddaddy. You cannot control what no one else thinks. You can't control what nobody else says. And you can't control what nobody else does. You can only control what you do. Last one, then I'm going to push the pause button. I call what you just talked about, Holly, a mental, did y'all hear that word?
Mental, yes.
Zip code change, which means that sometime with a crisis that everybody's going through their own personal stuff right now, you might have to relocate, which means that you might have to reposition yourself. You might have to rearrange some things, readjust, readapt, so you can be re-energized, you can be refreshed, so you can be renewed, so you'll be able to receive your reward. Did y'all notice all those words had re in front of it, which means that do again, and do it until you get it right, consistency and persistency. Back to you, Holly.
Right, and that's absolutely right. And, you know, as I said, if we're not aware, right, we're doing it automatically anyway with all of these negative thoughts, emotions, and feelings. So when you're aware and you're persistent, you start to change that. And actually, there's a lot of tools to help you do that, right? It's tools that you think might not be tools, but when we act in ways contrary to those negative patterns, that helps in breaking up our negative thoughts, emotions, and feelings. So when we give ourselves, and you're right about the negative self-talk, because without awareness, we're constantly doing that. We're constantly, I mean, we wouldn't say to others what we say to ourselves. most of the time. So if we can just, and again, it's not going to seem like it's working at first, but if you can start with a little self-compassion or self-love or even affirmations, right? Affirmations get such a bad rap because they don't work at first because there's no program in your head to match them. But when you say them enough and when you do something enough, it starts to break up those negative patterns because there's a Dr. Joe Dispenza who's pretty popular these days. And he says that nerve cells that fire together wire together. So if we're constantly thinking negatively, we're rewiring. We're, all these nerve patterns are coming together, creating long-term relationships. But if we're spending our time, at least some time a day, right, maybe just a few minutes a day, giving ourselves understanding where we're at, what we've been through, having gratitude for where we are, compassionate or sympathetic joy when someone else does well, then nerve cells that no longer fire together, no longer wire together, and again, you're literally rewiring your brain, and then to a point where you can start to live those changes. It's really fabulous, actually. It's available to everyone. It's fabulous. It's just we don't hear it enough, right? We have all of these complicated, you know, of course, everyone goes through trauma. Most people go through some type of major trauma or major grief, and we get stuck in those patterns, in those kind of lower levels of feelings, right? And when you're in those lower levels of feelings, you can't see anything else. It's all you can see. It's all you know, right? So in the beginning, if you are like I was very anxiety-ridden, self-absorbed, anxious. In the beginning, I had no idea, right? I had to trust that there was something more for me, right? Because when you are so low, you can't see it. You absolutely can't see it. Dr. Joe Dispenza says that our brains can't see what they're not familiar with. So you have to take a leap of faith that there's more to you, right? There's more to this life than what you're living. And that, again, takes consistency. But you will find it. You will open up these spaces and you'll see this light coming through, this peace, this wisdom, and in time you can turn it around, which is fabulous.
You know,
go ahead, Mayor.
When you're talking about these, you know, all this self-talk and, you know, mindfulness, you know, how important words really are. And, you know, one thing
right.
I've learned with a lot of the studies that I do is that, you know, a lot of people, they say, you know, I have depression or I have this and I have that. And, you know, and it makes it so much harder for you to, because when you start
right,
making it a part of who you are and your identity.
Exactly.
It's hard to get rid of it.
That's exactly right. You're right, Mary. You're identifying with that, right? And when you identify with that, you're making it stronger. I am depressed, right? So more nerve cells are coming together, more long-term relationships. It seems very solid and very real. You're absolutely right. I tell people, try to take the leap of faith and believe that you, your true nature, right, your God nature, your spiritual nature, your Buddhist nature is separate from your thoughts, emotions, and feelings. Now, our conditioning is important, right? In some ways, we need conditioning to walk and to talk and to be on this call and to, you know how to get up and function in this world. But we are actually in charge of our thoughts, right? And so if some of our conditioning isn't helpful to us, we have the power to change it. Because as the caller said, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, you know, you will live those thoughts, right? And so it is really that simple. If you're thinking negatively a lot, if you have a negative thoughts, you have a negative world. If you're wearing blue glasses, you have a blue world. If you have if you're wearing yellow glasses, you have a yellow world. So these practices are all about that, right? And they're not the only one. They're really a culmination of many teachings from across the country, like I said, from wonderful teachers and gurus.
And let me, Mary and I talked about sometimes, especially in building oneself, one has to be able to realize that you have to take the good with the bad. If you're willing to go through a procedure step by step, steps means nothing immediately. Now, here comes part of the problem. Certain little cliches that we know are not so true, but we do know that they tell you that when you have something called a goal, that one must, not maybe, one must write it down, which in our humanistic type of perspective means that we have a what we want and when we want it by. What by when? That's a goal. But see, what happens right. In the process, we told ourselves that seeing is believing. I can stand in the middle of the highway believing that I hear a car coming and find out that it's an 18-wheeler. So that's not really true. Seeing is not believing. Seeing is knowing. But here's what messes people up, Holly, and you just touched on it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But we want to be able to get stuff right away. Here comes another problem. Holly, I'm picking on you now. You're a visionary. You're not just a dreamer, sweetie. You're a visionary.
Thanks.
You'll be able to look into your faith, into your spirit, and see things as if they already were before you got your first new car. You saw it in your mind's eye. Here's the visionary problem. You see what you see, and what you're able to see, what most people can't see, is you're able to look into the future. Oh, here's the problem. You wake up every day to reality. Now you're looking and seeing your situation. Your situation is not your vision. That's just where you are now in the purpose-driven life. It means you have to go through some things to get to the vision. You see it in your mind's eye. You feel it in your heart. But when you wake up to reality every day, that's not what you see. So one's worst enemy can be oneself. Back to what are you saying to you about you, Holly? Back to you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So when you have a goal, that's great, right? I mean, I had a goal when I started this 20 years ago. I had a goal for something better, and then my goal got bigger, right? But what you need to do is you put the goal out there. What I've learned is that you when you have a goal, but you have an expectation of how that goal should be realized, that's when you suffer, right? Because you attach on to these ideas about how you think this should happen, rather than putting it out there and knowing that, you know, that faith, that, you know, that your powerful mind, your spirit-mind connection, you know, that when I started, I was so low, right? I was 34. I had made some poor choices. I'm like, give me another chance and I'll do better. And I made this intention to do better, but I didn't know what that even meant. But I kept with that intention, and things started showing up in my life. It's amazing how that happened. Books started showing up in my life, and if I had a question, literally the next thing I read was the answer. It's amazing, right? When you put that out there, that this is what I want, the good news is you don't necessarily have to figure out how to get there. You just have to be aware of what's going on, make choices when things come up, and you don't have to worry about, you know, if it doesn't go exactly the way you want. Because when we put expectations on things, again, those are based in our own negative patterns. Oh, this isn't going fast enough. Or take these practices, for example. I've been on this journey for 22 years. I started writing in 2009. I retired early to write even more in 2017. But it wouldn't be until the COVID pandemic that I was sitting there looking at what I had written. And these practices appeared, right? And so then here they are, and they're simple and they're straightforward. And then trying to get them out there to the world, like I had this expectation of what I wanted it to be. And every time it wasn't that, I struggled. I suffered because I'm attached to my old pattern. But the more you can put it out there and, you know, keep your intention and keep your faith and watch for what shows up. I mean, that's part of being human. It's this power to keep an intention and have this faith and watch and be aware of what shows up, and don't let your negative patterns dismiss it, because a lot of times things will show up in your life. and you dismiss it. And that's why things happen to people over and over, right? People will be in the same situation over and over until they see what they're supposed to be getting out of it. So absolutely, there's just, you know, trying to control the outside world, but really that causes a lot of suffering when it's not what people think it should be. So it's great to have goals and absolutely what you want, but then be open, you know, open your heart to what comes up, and, you know, and be ready for it. It's really, yeah, pretty cool.
Well, I totally agree right there, because there is a lesson in every blessing. Say it the other way around. There is a blessing in every lesson. Sometimes we have to go through certain things and know what doesn't work. With me and Mary being, well, Mary and I, being life coaches all these years, the first thing that I'm going to tell you when I start working with you is I may not be able to tell you everything to do that's right, but I can tell you what not to do.
Right.
How about that? Right. And I'm not Nike, right. Just do it. Been there, done that, documented it, and certain things, if you follow the instructions of the path of certain other people that's been successful before you, then yeah, you're more likely. But here's the trick. Here's a real, real one. Certain things, the divine creator that told me to tell y'all that he's getting ready to do a new thing that eyes have never seen and ears have never heard of. Certain things that us entrepreneurs are doing now has never been done before. If you find yourself on a path now to where you can't use no GPS to get you to your destination, that's when you need to kick in the faith turbo boosters. Because if the truth was really told, the divine creator will download wisdom at the speed of your questions. If you don't know what to do or don't know how to do it, ask. Ask not, receive not. Holly, I'm glad you showed up and be part of the family, sweetie, because there's somebody somewhere right now sitting in the world thinking, wow, I don't know. That's why you came, Holly. Back to you, because we're here. Oh, one more. We have no hidden agendas now. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you. Why? Because we care. We care enough to share enough information. Keep in mind, we're in the information stage. Information with you so that you'll know what you need to know in order to be able to grow. That's why you're here, Holly, because your purpose-driven life is to enlighten, empower, and show people what they may not can see from their own perspective. So back over to you, Holly.
Yeah, one of the things that you said that really hit on is that everything happens for a reason. And I like what you said, that there's a blessing in every lesson, right? I mean, I'm from my hometown in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and I traveled around the world trying to get away from what I felt was narcissistic, self-absorbed people. And every place I went, they would show up, and I have this mental table. I can put them all around the table. I went from Black Hills of South Dakota to Minneapolis to the greater New York City area. I moved across the country at 49 years old to live in a Dharma house in San Francisco until I realized, right, it's not the people, right? It's the people, what the people are showing me. And once I realized that, it was even my chosen profession is an architect. So I was an architect for 25 years, and I worked in high pressure jobs. I did international hospital work, and at the end, when I started to realize about all these people around my table, I was working with a lot of high pressure people. But once I learned the lesson that this isn't about me, right? This is who they are in their own patterns and their own struggles. It was so freeing, right? When we can start to attach or detach from all of these things that we think other people should be doing, and it just frees you up. right? And it takes your energy to worry about other people and how they're treating you. And so that was a big aha moment for me, right? That you can't run away from who you are, because you're going to attract those kind of people until you learn what you're meant to learn. And when you do, it just frees you up to find, like I said, that peace, to have more creativity, more joy, and growth, right? And then what's the next thing you want to do? So.
Here I come again, Mary. I'll shut up in a minute. Here comes Crunchy's lesson for the day. It comes from my grandmother. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Y'all remember Shakespeare put in a riddle and gave it to Hamlet, to be or not to be? Is that really the question, or is that the answer to the question? But here's the riddle. Most people don't realize that one cannot bless themselves. Now, you can be blessed now, but the divine creator gave your blessing to somebody else. You heard Holly just say, you have to come to a point in your life, and I was hoping that would be in elementary school or kindergarten, that there's something bigger than you. It's something that's not about you. It's about his glory. It's about his glory. It's about his glory. So while we're doing this self-improvement stuff, how does one do it without? That doesn't mean you shut the world down. That don't mean you push your family and quality time aside. That don't mean you don't go for a walk in the park with your pet because you're working on you. But here's the tricky part, granddaddy wisdom. Country boy, if you're the smartest person on your architectural team, then you need to find yourself some new friends. Why? Because certain things happen in those environments. Jealousy sneaks around. Whispering starts to go on. Competing starts to happen. But over here at the Hope Foundation, we have something what we call super friends. We've been able to take the best of the best from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and we allow every single person to come in and do like Holly. Love your very, 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 very best in the area that you have knowledge, expertise, and wisdom and all that kind of goody stuff for you. Last part. Why did I tell you all that? To tell you that over here, we complete you. We do not compete with you. One more time. We're here to help you in the areas that you might be weak. You remember he says, where you are weak, We, yes, we are strong, united as a group. When I say super friends, we allow everybody to do what they're best at and love their very best, but it allows us to do extraordinary things on ordinary days by passing love, hope, and kindness your way. You heard me say before, practice it. You heard Holly say it. You heard Mary say it. Practice, 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 practice. Oh, I forgot to tell you. This doesn't mean you get perfect. Practice means you only get better and better and better. Holly, all I'm doing is repeating what you just said. Better, better.
And
whatever
yeah,
it is you
yeah,
do.
I mean,
now, here's the last part. Do unto others before they do unto you, because when you give some love, some hope, some kindness, some encouragement away, eventually it will come right back to you, even if it does not come from the person that you originally gave it to. It's a ministry. Thank you, Holly, for being with us. Go ahead, Mary.
Sorry,
I'll,
I was muted.
Go ahead. Mary, if you want
to.
Well,
no, I was
going
to pass it to you.
Oh, okay, cool. So I appreciate all that you're saying. And again, I also appreciate that it's not, you know, kind of a non-denominational talk, because the first part of the practices, the pledge, evaluate, recognize, is something anyone can do, right? No matter where you are in your faith, or, you know, if you're spiritual, if you're not spiritual, if you're religious, you're not religious. Starting again, it's hard to see where you're at when you're stuck in low patterns. So when you work on these practices, and when you pledge to watch your mind, evaluate what's going on, and then recognize it so you can change it, that's when you start to know more of who you are, who you truly are, and what you want to do with your life and what you can. You have more freedom to do those things with your life. So in one respect, it is absolutely about putting a goal out there and having an intention and being aware of what shows up. But on the other hand, we actually can't stop our own thoughts from coming up because, again, they're programmed. But the more we attach to them, the more we struggle. We're in control of our response to those thoughts. So if a thought that I'm ugly, I'm not worthy, has come up a lot, right? If we just like let it come up and back down, it's not my thought, it's just a thought, right? And we're in charge of how we react to those thoughts. And so when we start paying attention to them instead of acting automatically and working with them, or recognizing them and sending them kind of down the thoughts, emotions, and feelings highway through, turning them around or just welcoming them or giving yourself some affirmations, that starts to break it up. Then you can start to see more, because this negative stuff takes all your energy. It takes all your energy. It's painful in your body. Every time you have a thought, there's this hypothalamus in your brain that sends chemicals instantly throughout your body. And each cell in your body has thousands of receptors. And so the more you send the chemical for anxiety or depression, the more receptors of that cell has that and divides, right? And so your whole body, that's what emotions are. Emotions are the physical response to your thoughts. So when you've been in a certain negative modality for a while, your body's even screaming this stuff to you, right? So it's not just in your head, it's your body. It's that, which is why people can feel so stuck, which is, again, why, as we talked about, when you want to change something, you have to do it over and over and over. But you can. You absolutely have that power to do it.
And all that's something I love about what you do and what you say is that, you're putting the power back into our power and giving us the power,
right,
which we had. But with, society nowadays and social media and with, the lockdowns with COVID and, your experience with 9/11, people started feeling they lost that power and that control in their life. And they're just learning to accept whatever it is.
You're right, Mary. At age 34, I had everything. Everything you needed to be happy according to society's laws or rules and its prescriptions. I had a great career, handsome husband, two fabulous kids. I just built a new house, even great pets. I had everything. But the foundations of that was flawed, right? Because I had learned at a very young age my father was alienated from me. We all have trauma, my divorce, that I was unlovable and not unworthy. So what I did was I created a world to look like I'm okay, which is what everybody wants to do, look okay on the outside. And so I had it all. I had everything anything is supposed to want, everything anyone's supposed to want, and it just imploded. It just imploded. And so spending that time, I mean, being honest with what you're doing, right, with where you're at is a big thing. So, and it's scary sometimes. There's a poem by Robert Bly, who's a late influential poet, that says when we're young and people don't like certain parts about us, we tend to stuff them away in this bag, right? Good girls don't do that. Good boys don't behave that way. And as we age, and parents don't like things, or we think we're flawed, we have things we don't want to show others, we continue to stuff them in this bag. And then we forget they're there in the first place, right? We become shadows of our amazing selves. We forget they're there in the first place. And then we doubt ourselves. Oh, I could never do that. I'm not worthy of this. So part of this journey, part of these practices in evaluate is to look in the bag, right? And just look in it slowly. Look what patterns you might have stuffed in there and forgotten are there yourself, right? Because those things are the things that are running your life. And when you can do that, when you can start to look at these things with wisdom, with awareness from pledging to watch your mind, you can catch them, right? You can catch them and you can change them. You can walk away from them. You recognize them as mere thoughts, emotions, and feelings. They're not who you are. It's very powerful stuff. And again, like I said, it's teachings that I went to retreats. I lived in a Dharma house. I studied Buddhism. I grew up Lutheran. And a lot of these teachings they say the same thing. And there's this one huge aha moment 2 years ago when there's a book by Dr. Richard Carlson called You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And by the way, all of this information I have a free hour-long class all of this information is in the class. So if you're writing down notes, don't worry about it. If you sign up for my newsletter, you get the link to the class. All of these notes are in the class. But, I forgot who I was talking about now. Let's see. Oh, the book. So there's a book called You Can Be Happy No Matter What by Dr. Richard Carlson. Okay. And he wrote the book Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Everyone probably knows that book, right? Well, I was reading that book 10 years ago, 10 years into my journey. Then I read it again 2 years ago, and I found a little footnote about a book from the 1980s, which has a very unfortunate title called Sanity and Common Sense, by Dr. Enrique Suarez, where he was talking about these same kind of things in the 80s, but it never caught on, right, about how our thoughts. He had this major breakthrough in psychology and how we can help ourselves to free ourselves from these negative thoughts. So he printed this book in 82. It went out of print in 90. But fortunately, Dr. Richard Carlson says, yes, this is worthwhile. He reprints the book. He rewrites the book, credits this guy. But then unfortunately, Dr. Richard Carlson passes away. But these principles in this book, I'm teaching them in my deeper classes. I have a monthly forum, very low cost monthly forum, where we go through these practices and all these teachings in depth. And I'm teaching these principles. The book is called You Can Be Happy No Matter What, Principles to Happiness or something like that. And it's the principle of thought. It's the principle of separate realities, that no two people see the same thing because we all have our own patterns. It's a principle of moods and how when you're in a low mood, you can't see what's going on. And when you're in a higher mood, you recognize what's going on. And it's a principle of feelings. And he says in the book, or both of these wonderful teachers say that feelings are like an interior barometer. It's nothing we have to attach to. They're nothing we have to live with. They're just telling us if we're heading in the wrong direction, right? So if we wake up in the morning, I remember waking up in the morning, actually focusing, like looking to my body to tell me how I'm doing, right? And for me, it was a lot about guilt, obviously I wasn't lovable, my father left, and I got divorced and all this stuff. So for me, it was about guilt. And so my mind would actually look for reasons to reinforce those patterns, right? Because that's what my whole cellular system is set on, my whole brain is set on. So my mind would actually look for reasons to reinforce that guilt. But if you look at feelings and emotions as just a barometer, right? If it's negative, go the other way. And you have the power to do that. And the more often you can recognize that and go the other way, the more you're rewiring your brain and the more freedom you'll find. Yeah, I was blown away when I read this a couple years ago. It really was kind of the finishing piece that brought all these practices together.
You know, you talk a lot about, you know, bringing your true self out there. And how hard it is today, especially because, you know, for some reason we're so obsessed with celebrities and influencers now that, you know, make money just by looking pretty. How do we do that and get the guts to do that when everything you see plastered on social media, except for mine, is all good, never anything bad? I deliberately post
that. That is true, and that's
just on purpose.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the whole society is based around looking good on the outside. So this whole thing I did up until age 34 is what a lot of social media is all about. And then it can get you down, right? If you're not pretty or you're not that successful, or you're not this. And in fact, if you're down anyway, if you have a pattern of being negative, it's going to be even worse. Like, Like sometimes I have to stop and tell myself, like, look what you've done, right? Because these patterns will try to it's like a computer. It doesn't want the programming to fail, right? But the more you spend time the more attached you are to those images on social media, of course, the more you're going to struggle. The more you're attached to anything on the outside world, right, the more you're going to struggle. So, and what makes you attached to those things are these negative patterns that we've developed from childhood. From, you know, like I said, my father left, my mother alienated him. So, but in my mind, I wasn't worthy of his love, and I wasn't worthy, and I was unlovable. And so all these years with all these people from town, from Minneapolis, from Rapid City to Minneapolis to New York to San Francisco that I saw around my table were people that didn't love me because I wasn't lovable enough. Right. But when I started to realize that this was a story that I had stuffed in my bag and I was reinforcing every time I moved to try to get away from it, then I could let it go. Letting go is huge, right? That's why letting go is so huge. When you're no longer attached to what those people think about you, I mean, obviously you want to do well and, our true nature is love, right? So but when we're not attached to what these people think about us, then we have freedom. We don't have to worry about what's on social media anymore. It's really very powerful when you start to realize that your own the attachment you have to these to the society or to these things you're seeing are based on these negative patterns, and you can change those patterns, and then you're not as attached, and then you have freedom and power to post whatever you want and to look however you want and to be whoever you want. And it takes time. Of course it takes time, because we spent years, decades pouring in these negative thoughts, creating these negative stories, reinforcing these negative stories, especially if there's a lot of trauma, if there was some major trauma in your life, right, that you're not even really looking at. We create stories to cover them up. So this process does take time, but it's free, okay? It's free and it's available. And my practices per love are just a culmination. I'm an architect, as I said, and one of the things I do, architects do, is put big projects together, right? We make millions of decisions to create a set of drawings to do a building, especially a hospital building, right? So in my profession, I'm very good at solving puzzles. And so these practices is a puzzle. It's putting together all the pieces that I've learned. And so it's not my way or the highway. These are teachings that people have been saying for millennia, for decades, for years, for a long time. And they're free, and they're a path back to our true nature. There's a Buddhist monk. His name is Tim Olmsted. And he's the president of the Pema Chodron Foundation, but he says that this isn't even about spirituality or religion. This is about how the mind works, and it's available to everyone, and it's simply about becoming familiar with what is already there, which is our true nature. So it's really, it's free, and it's available. I just wish, as you said, I wish we would have learned this in elementary school. Why don't they teach us this earlier on, right?
No, we're working on that.
You are working on that. Very good.
We have a program called the Kindness Club, and we teach the kids, and it's accepted in a lot of schools, and we're expanding it throughout the country and throughout the world. And one of the major aspects of this club that was created by Captain Len Kane and my daughter, and I twisted it a little bit more to put in mindset training to teach kids how important it is to love yourself, and it's not
a selfish act. Right, to love yourself and to be aware of what you're thinking. If we can teach kids to be aware of what they're thinking and to respond to it with wisdom, they're not going to get as entangled in all that pain and struggle, which is, it's the human condition right now. So that's wonderful. I mean, if we can teach these stuff in the schools, I mean, the world would evolve, I would think. You know, it could really make a big change.
Yeah, I'll come again. when we're talking about children, we're talking about pushing the refresh button on not just the children's minds, but us adult minds, friend of mine, Commodores. You said, Holly, I had all this. I had the house. I had the car. I had the career. I had all. A lot of times we get caught up, I think Lionel Richie put it, the material things that I thought had so much value really didn't have any value at all. Then we talked about social media. What happened in the process is, I'm talking about all of us now. I was reading that little book that said it is not good. I read it several times, but the only time I ever read in there, it said it is not good for man. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all, man has no gender, man slash woman. We're equal in essence, we're just different in function. It is not good, the divine creator told me to tell you, for man to be alone. What happened in the process is the world got shut down for a crime that you didn't even commit. We got isolated. It is not good for man to be alone. In the process of being isolated, oh, I forgot to tell you, you can be alone and not be lonely. You can be in a crowd around a bunch of people and be lonely, but when we were in shutdown and we started having this self-talk because there was nobody around at midnight when you needed somebody to talk to, what happens in the process is when you go to sleep and you push the rest button, you should re-rise with a renewed energy. Here's where it starts out at, you guys. I think I stole this from Michael Jackson. It's called mirror talk. If you want to make the world a better place, start with a woman in the mirror. So when you look into the mirror every day, you do look in the mirror every day while you're brushing, right? What are you saying to you about you? Oh, this is in privacy. Nobody has to ask you whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. It's a self conversation. What are you telling to you in the reflection? Oh, I forgot to tell you. The divine creator says, I am that I am that I am. I am the truth. And, oh, that means addition to, and the light. When you look into the mirror, announcement. When you look into the mirror, you are looking at a reflection of light. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he's right. You're looking for a reflection of light. The divine creator designed you in his own image. And what are you saying to you when you look at you in the mirror in the reflection of light? Last part of that, what happens in the process? Why are we drawn to social media? We're drawn to other famous, can I use that word? Famous people's light. You want to share their light with them, so you take yourself a selfie. This is about you now, not about them. Take a picture of yourself, post it of yourself on the media, and hope, well, that's a different kind of hope, that people click on your like button. And based on how many click on your like button is going to determine on whether you like yourself or not. Here's the last one. Mary and I have been practicing it. We ain't perfected it yet, but practice means you get better and better and better. Is you unconsciously, ooh, that's a dangerous word, unconsciously let your little, can I use that word? That's an adjective. Little light shine. It unconsciously allows other people to let their little light shine too. So if you let your little light shine and I let my little light shine and Holly and Ron and Rick and the whole super friend family lets their little light shine, I think people are going to be able to see the world from a different perspective, that it's not just about you. It's about his light and his glory. And if the truth was ever to show up and start to quarrel around and feud with this bullying, and we feed it with kindness, if we start to do unto others before they do unto you, if you give some love, some hope, and some kindness away, likely, eventually that likely will come likely back to you, even if it does not come from the person that you originated from. Back to you, Holly.
Okay. Wow. We got about 5 minutes left. I'm really happy to have been on the show. Thank you, Mary, for having me. If people are interested in the practices, again, there's a free, it's herloveformula.com. I think, Mary, you have the link. There's a free class that explains all of them. And there's a video.
Do you want to take and put together those links and share them in Optimize My Life Facebook group, and I can send you the link so that everybody who listens to the show can go to our listeners are already part of the group, if not more, can go to Optimize My Life Facebook group, and we share everything there. Plus, Holly, before you go, would you do a little bit of a write-up about what you do so we can put it in the new magazine that's launching in a couple weeks?
Of course. Sure, I'd be happy to. Yep. So send me the link, and I'll put those in the group. That sounds great. And happy to put that together. Because like you, Mary, and, you know, it's we're all doing this to help others, right? You feel grateful for what we have. And really the message is that it's available and doable. So no matter how stuck you feel, I mean, I was really, really stuck. Right, there's a way out. So,
you know, and what I like about, you know, with you is you didn't wait till all the tragedies happened to start figuring out a way out. You know, a lot of people wait till they hit rock bottom and completely stuck in life before they take those steps to figure out the next steps. You know, when
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was so lost, right? But even once I did hit rock bottom, what I thought was rock bottom, the first thing it did was catapult me out of a mutually manipulative and controlling marriage and into an 8-year battle for my children and to prevent my alienation from them. But if it wouldn't have been for those 8 years, I would have just been as stuck as I was. So sometimes really hard things that you're going through are helping you to find your way. And but you're absolutely right. A lot of people do wait till rock bottom, and I did. But one of my goals is, as yours as well, is so that people don't have to. You don't have to wait till you hit rock bottom. You can do it right now, wherever you're at, and you can find that freedom.
Thank you so much.
I got one more last thought for everybody. While you're going through, keep in mind, there's no way to get through unless you go through. The cliff note for the day is all things, not something. All things work together for the good, for those who say they love, And then keep in mind, you guys, the divine creator told me to tell you, and I never prayed the same prayer over and over again because he don't want me to think he has amnesia, but I'm going to give you my little prayer that you can pray over and over again. The divine creator is either going to fix it, change it, or rearrange it. One more time, country boy. The divine creator, call him whoever you want to call him. Call him the light. Call him the truth. Call him the good, as long as you call him. The divine creator is either, I forgot to tell you, he works in mysterious ways. He's either going to fix it, change it, or rearrange it, but it will not stay the same. Change is inevitable. Last cliff note, when anyone attempts, tries, works at it really hard to change their situation. I just told you, you wasn't paying attention that all things work together for the good. When you work together for your good, it always turns out good, even if it does not work out the way that you originally planned. He's going to fix it, change it, or rearrange it because it will not stay the same. And if you try to change it for the positive, it works out for the positive. But if you refuse to change, change is going to come anyway, and it's going to show up in a shape, form, or fashion that you don't want to have. So don't procrastinate. Move today.
Let's go.
Okay, David, I'm almost done. All right, we're out of time for today, and someone's reminding me we're out of time for today.
Thank you, Mary, so much for having me.
Thank you, Holly.
Join us tomorrow at noon for Travel Tuesday, and join us again tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern for Special Needs Kids and How to Help Your Kids. Have a good day.
Awesome, man.
Have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Good day, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Bye.